Yes, again, I warned you, Rabbi Yossi, I need your help. I'm soliciting your help for this year. Okay, let's begin. We have the Perek Lamed Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Two more psukim to wind down the story of Ashur. And then after we wind down the story of Ashur, we're going to go back and describe more about Egypt. So Pasuk Yud Zayin says, the thing on Pasuk Yud Zayin says, Gam Heim Ito Yardu Sha'ila El Chalei Cheref. They also... Okay, they also will descend. What's wrong? They also will descend. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
They also will descend. Ita with him. They meaning referring to all of the nations, all of the nations that are subordinate to Ashur. They will descend Ito together with Ashur, which we assume now is Sancheriv. Yardu Sha'ila, they'll go down into the grave. El Chalei Cheref, they'll go down to the grave with those that have been killed by sword. Uzuro'o, Yashu Betziloi Besoch HaGoyim, and his might, and his arm, his heavy powered arm. Yashu Betziloi. Okay, let's read a little bit farther to see what this means. I told you, I'm not too prepared. You're going to help me. Yardu Betziloi Besoch HaGoyim. Let's see Yud Zayin and the Metzudah started. Then we'll review the pasuk again. Yud Zayin pasuk says, Gam heim ito return loymar hat hanchumim tia hoyel. The reason why they will have comfort, these nations will have comfort, will be because the heim gam ito yardu shoyla el shor chale chedef v'loy rak levadam ki kamohu kamohem. They'll all be the same. Uzra'o gam anshe zero'o v'oizrov, his mighty soldiers. The Asher Yoshvu Vitzilo, those that in the past that sat in his shade, those that took refuge under his authority, v'chasubo, they took refuge, mibein toch hagoyim, kulam yardu sha'olah, they'll all go down into the grave. So here the Mitzudos explains that Pasuk Yud Zayin directly continues Pasuk Yud Tes Zayin. And there the theme of Pasuk Tes Zayin is tanchumin, comfort. And the reason why, we had a discussion yesterday, who exactly is receiving comfort? So we learned simply refers to...
Which end is this line?
So the question... What's going on? It's not working? I turned it off on my end. Turned it back on. Pull it out. Put it back in. Is it better now? Maybe just turn it off. You have another microphone, maybe? Is there another microphone? You have a different microphone? Oh, see, I turned it off. See, it's coming from there.
What?
You see, I turned, I'm out, it's off, and it's still making sounds. So it's from there.
We had trouble just calling
it off. This one.
Maybe it's this. I don't know. Maybe it's this because I turned it off. All right, if we can't sell this, let's do about it. Okay, the previous Pasuk design is describing the tanchumin, the comfort, the people. Okay, the people of the enemy, the people that in the past that have suffered will now have comfort when they see that Sancheriv and his nation have also suffered the same fate. So that's not really what the Mitzvah says. The Mitzvah says, when we're talking about the Mitzvah, Gam Heim, we're talking about Tanchumen Tiye Hoyol, V'Heim Gam Ito Yerdu Sh'oyla El Shor Chalei Cheref. The Tanchumen will be that they also, let's assume that the Mitzudos is understanding the Pasuk the same way that we learned yesterday, is that the reason why these people are going to have comfort, the people referring to people and countries that have suffered in the past. Misery loves company. So why will they have comfort? Because when they see that other people, other nations in the world also suffer, we are not alone. We have comfort. V'gam heim ito yardu sho'elo elechale. So therefore, these also will go down into the grave, referring to the nation of Sancheriv, will go down to the grave with all of the people, the dead, and their soldiers that sat in the shade amongst the Goyim, they'll all go down into the Gehenim, into the grave. So therefore, all the people that are in Gehenim from beforehand, they now will have comfort, they'll have someone to talk to in Gehenim. They'll have some company. Rashi, Pasuk Yizayin, Uzura'o, Yashu B'tzilo, the Oizra of Asher, Yashu B'tzilo, referring to all of the associates. Should I just turn this off? Try a little more. All of the associates of Sancheriv and Ashur, they will all go down into the grave. Let's see what Dak Pasuk Yitzayin says. Gam heim hamalachim shahayu imo chal lecheref kamohu. They'll also be killed by sword. V'yamar heim ki zochar atzei eden shoysei mayim v'hu moshul v'lochem v'amar ki asher yodu l'fadav nichamu bo u'v'moso gam kein meisu imo. Okay, simple, we'll run through it. Those kings that were assisted him, okay, we'll leave that. Turn it off. All right, let's turn it off. Okay, we'll just turn it off. All right. So this is Pasuk Yud Ches. Now Pasuk Yud Ches winds down. Pasuk Yud Ches now winds down the theme of the parak. Soif Maisa B'machshava Techila. This whole speech was addressed to Melech Paro. And Melech Paro was told, when we started, there were two different approaches. The approach number one is, Paro, why are you so arrogant? Paro, who do you look up to? When you look back in world history, who do you look up to? It's always in the United States, every president has favorites. Who is Trump's favorite president? Andrew Jackson. Right. He hung up his portrait in the Oval Office. He's the only president in the Oval Office has his portrait. He brought him. That's his model. His model of government is to follow Andrew Jackson. So too over here, Paro is looking back in the past. Who is the model? Who does Paro look up to? So from this parak, it's very clear that Hashem is speaking to Paro. Paro's model is Sancheriv Melech Ashur. That's who he looks up to. He looks back in history, he sees that he was extremely successful, he controlled the entire world, he was very wealthy, he built for himself magnificent palaces, he built for himself some type of space station in the heavens through harnessing the power of the Tehoim and Nevuch. Ashur, that's what we learned. We learned that Ashur, Paro looked back and he saw the greatness. Sar also did the same thing. That we discussed this yesterday. But Paro looked back and he idolized Melech Ashur. Melech Ashur was his dogma, his model. And Hashem says, Paro, is he really a model? If he's really a model, then go all the way. Look what happened to him. Look at Ashur. He was arrogant. The nation was arrogant. And due to the arrogance, I destroyed them. They've been obliterated. There's nothing left of them. So why do you think you are going to fear any better? This was the Pshut Shel Mikra. And then we learned the Medrash. The Psikta says that the Pshat, the entire thing over here, is not really to give him Musa, but it's to give him comfort. For whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give Nechama to Paro. And it says, listen, Paro, you're not alone. Misery loves company. Look, there are other people who suffer terrible tragedies and therefore they're able to survive. So too, you'll get over it, you'll be able to survive. And here is where everything comes down to, the entire parak comes down to this Pasuk Yud Ches, El Mida Misa. Okay, I'll read the Pasuk, it's very cool, I'll read the Pasuk, because I don't know how to attach the Pasuk to it, I didn't prepare that much. El Mida Misa, to who do you, Paro, compare yourself to? You compare yourself to Ashur, Kocha, just like what happened to Ashur, the chavod of a godel bi'as Eden, with the honor and greatness in among the trees of the Eden, v'huradeto es atse Eden el eretz tachtis. Yet to this, like this honor and greatness in the trees of the Eden, which you compare yourself to, look what happened to them. V'huradeto, he was taken down es atse Eden el eretz tachtis, to the grave. V'sochar elim tishkaf. Hashem, I think, is addressing Paro. You also will lie among the Arelim, the wicked in Gehenim, Tishkaf es chal lecheref, Hu Faro v'chol hamono, Paro and all of his armies and his multitude, his nation, the Hashem Elokim. Let's see this better in the Mitzvot's Pasuk Yud Ches. Exactly what it's saying over here. Pasuk Yud Ches, the Mitzvot says, El Mida Misa, Musav l'tchilas o'inyan. Okay, so this Pasuk goes back to the very beginning of the Perek. Sha'omar el mul Paro, Hashem is speaking to Paro. El Mida Misa Bigolecha, to whom do you compare yourself in your greatness? Uchoimer, Halo, Ashur Hoya Godol Mimcha. Ashur was even greater than you. He was much greater than you, Ashur. Ume also Bo. What happened to this nation? The Amarat al Paro, El Mida Misa, Lios Kocha Kamohu. To who do you compare yourself to be Kocha, to be equal? Mi domisa kocha. Okay, so those three words go together according to the mitzvah. To who do you compare yourself to be similar to be kocha, just like him? Bechavod yisera, to aspire to great honor. Uvegoydel rav, and greatness. Besoch atse eden ucha oimer af im domisa laashur. If you try to compare yourself to the nation of Asher, shachoyah hagadol mikulam, who is the greatest of the great, haloi gam hu nafal. That's the next pasuk. That's the end of the pasuk. He also fell. Vihu radita, and just as he fell, so too will you fall. L'chein gamata tuvad elakever imatze eden im shor hamulachim besoch arel besoch reshoyim. An orel is the uncircumcised. It's always a code word for the wicked. V'doy melohem tishkav, you will lie by kever. Tishkav imshar chal lechev, with the other dead, v'dem lohem, hu paro, and then the pasuk winds down, he is par ha-sheichev ha-hu, hu paro v'chol hamono amo, you will lie with him, with paro, you paro, you and all of your multitudes will also one day go into the grave and suffer your fate. So now with this interpretation, we can go back and we can read the pasuk once again, we have clarity. Pasuk says, el mido misa kocha, kama, to who do you, Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, to who do you compare yourself to be equal to? The answer is to, in what fashion? To achieve bechavod uvegoydel, to receive honor and greatness, but say Eden, amongst all of the trees of Eden, of the majestic, beautiful trees. It's a rhetorical question, and the answer is to Ashur. That's who you're comparing yourself. You aspire to achieve his greatness and his grandeur, and to be like the Atzei Eden that was the blessing of Ashur. But look what happened to Ashur. He ultimately was destroyed. Likewise, we have to add all these words into the pasuk, you too will be destroyed. Vihu radita, you will also descend El Atzei Eden, to those Atzei Eden that have been cut down. Where are they now? They're now in the El Eretz Tachtis, in the grave. Besoch Arelim, with all you power, will also lie one day with the Arelim Tishkaf. Eschal lechet, of all those have been killed by sword. Who am I talking to? Who Paro? I'm talking to you, Paro. It's going to happen to you. V'chol hamono, all of your multitudes. Ne'um Hashem Elokim. Rashi pasuk yud ches el mi domisa kocha ata Paro el mi me atzei eden domisa sheyehe kocha gadol ka'ashur v'gadol v'chavu v'gadol v'haray reisa shahiradita sha'ola. You're comparing yourself to the greatness of Ashur, and you have witnessed with your own eyes that he has descended into the grave, so you should be aware of Af'ata, so too when it comes to you, Vihu Radita, the day will come when you will descend im Atzei Eden, im Sha'or Melochim Chazakim, with all the other mighty kings, El Eretz Tachtis, which is Gei Hinoim, which is into Gehenna. Okay, now let's see the Radak. Radak also is very straightforward. Radak Pasuk Yizayin says, Lalida Mitzah Koch Amar Keneged Paro. This over here, even though the entire parak we're talking about Ashur, now we are winding down. We're summarizing the entire section. The first pasuk and the last pasuk are the same theme. I'm speaking to you, Paro. El mi b'chol atze eden demitza im ato savor she demitza lemelch Ashur begodlecha. Who is your role model? Ashur. Shehoye eretz balavonon. He was the erez bal the mighty cedar. V'hine Ashur nafal. But look what happened to Ashur. He collapsed. Gamata people likewise, you too will collapse. V'huradita el atze eden k'mosh shenaflu v'yardu shor hamulachim kein teret el eretz tachtis gamata. But he collapsed. So to you'll collapse the Sukh Arelim, Him Arele Halev. The word Arelim is always a code word in Tanakh for the wicked, the people who have the uncircumcised hearts. The Alderech HaZed Tukim Yonason, Chayovaya. The word Arelim means the guilty who deserve to go into Hehenim. Who Paro? So now, here the Pasuk concludes, Ki'ilu Omer, Ata Paro. Make no mistake, I'm talking to you. Don't turn around and think I'm talking to someone else. I'm talking to you. You ever hear Rabbanim? They get up and they say, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm giving you Musar. But you know, who am I to give you Musar? So I'm really talking to myself. You want to over-listen so you can listen. Rabbi Yisrael, Yechizkel says, I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to you. I'm giving you the Musar. Okay, let's make no mistake. The Musar is to you, Rabbi, to you, Paro. That's exactly what the pasuk over here says. Who, Paro? It's you, Paro. I'm referring to Paro. Make no mistake. Ki'ilu Omer Ata Paro. El Shder Chamikro Ladaber L'Noicheach. This is an expression, who concerning that person, V'Shaloi L'Noicheach. The pasuk over here,
again,
sometimes
second person,
third person that plays around. Kamosh Shimu Amin Bukulam Hadem Lo. We had that before. Like you make a bracha. When you make a bracha, it's Baruch Atah. It's direct. Then you say Hashem Elokeinu, our God. So what happened? Hashem Elokeinu. How does it go? That's a different idea. There's an idea in every bracha we say both. It's noichach, and then we refer to Hashem, third person. Okay, let's leave that for now. Let's see hamotzi lech. That's the part. Baruch atah you.
Right.
So we don't say that you're the one that you brought forth. Shemotzi atah, but we say hamotzi lechem, the one. It's third person, the one who has brought forth lechem min haaretz. So every bracha has that same idea where you first start out speaking direct and then you refer to Hashem indirectly. So that's the derech of Chazal. Chazal obviously extracted that idea from Nach, and here is an example. Here Yechezkel is speaking first el midom miso. He's speaking directly to Paro in the beginning of the pasuk. At the end of the pasuk, he's speaking indirectly. I'm referring here who Paro. This entire message relates to concerns Paro. So we go from direct to indirect. The Radak simply says this is nothing more than a style of writing, a style of speaking. And as we know, the Nusach HaTfilah and the Nusach HaBrachos very much more often than not follows in this pattern. Okay, I don't have any Midrashim that I know of. Again, I told you I apologize. They did not appear in people that much. So let's now go into the next section. The next section again. I really do not know what's going on here. Rabbi Yisai, there is an enormous amount of repetition describing the korban that will come upon Egypt. We already went through a few parakim, and again, once again, we go to another parak describing the utter obliteration of Egypt. Now, again, the only solution to us, so that's the only, that's the nevuah over here is given, now the korban of Mitzrayim took place in the 27th year of Nebuchadnezzar. That was the main korban. The main korban that came to Egypt that obliterated them off the map, where the land was desolate for 40 years. No living man or animal, the regel Adam, regel Behemoth, did not walk in the land for 40 years, took place in the 27th year, starting with the 27th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Yerushalayim in his 19th year. So it was 8 years later. It was 8 year gap between the korban of Yerushalayim and the korban of Mitzrayim, and yet we have so many parochim that describe in detail what happened to Mitzrayim, and the only answer we've given is, when was the first korban? The first major korban was in Nebuchadnezzar's second year. The first year he conquered Nineveh, and in the second year, Nineveh together with Egypt, right? It was the second year, I'm already forgetting. The second year. The first year he conquered Nineveh, and the second year he conquered Egypt. But that conquest of Egypt in Nebuchadnezzar's second year was a partial conquest. He did not wipe them off the face of the world. He wiped off Egypt off the face of the world in his 27th year. He partially conquered Egypt in his second year. And the truth is, in the first year, the army was stationed in Carchemish. When Nebuchadnezzar conquered Ashur, Nineveh is the capital. But where was the major army of Paro located at that point in time? They were trying to conquer Nineveh as well, and they were located in Carchemish. And Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the army of Paro in Carchemish. So really, he destroyed their army in the first year. He went to the land of Egypt to destroy them in the second year as Melech. And then there was a hiatus for a period of time until his 19th year when he destroyed Yerushalayim, and then in his 27th year he went and he completely obliterated Mitzrayim off the map, and that it ceased to exist for 40 years until the year when Belshazzar, until the end of the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar, including him and his son Evel Merodach, who ruled for 22 years after Nebuchadnezzar, and in the first year of Belshazzar is when Egypt began to redevelop. So those are two major forms of destruction. Now, obviously, there must have been some other future destruction that came upon Egypt in the future generations. Now, when exactly that take place? That's Jewish history. And obviously, these psukim that won't even refer to Bisman Hazel, when it was going on in Egypt today. It went on in Egypt the last couple of years. The whole Egypt is falling to pieces. So obviously the repetition, the multiple repetition of terrible events that happened in Egypt are alluding to different tekufos in world history. In hindsight, maybe if we go back and we analyze, someone who's a Baki Muflok in world history can maybe match up each section of Nevuah to a specific event, something that happened in Egypt. Obviously, Egypt is cursed. They're cursed. Why are they cursed? Because of what they did to us in Mitzrayim. Because of the Shibud, because Va'avodum, V'inui Oysam Arba Me'oshana, they're the ones who took the lead, and they did, the Ramban says, there was a Gzera, but they were not the ones who had to fulfill the Gzera. Just because Hashem says, Va'avodum, V'inui Oysam Be'eretz Asher Lo Elohem, it doesn't mean Egypt. Why was Egypt aggressive to be the ones to do? That was a terrible sin. And that's another sin. And then on top of that, who told them, what kind of business is that? And to build peace on the Ramses, va'avodum the inui oisam. So being that they're the ones who took the lead, they overdid it. That's why they're cursed. And throughout the entire world history, they suffer one defeat after another, over and over again. Hashem has it out for them. And the only other nation that we have to find the same idea over and over and over again is Babel. Because Nebuchadnezzar has a special place in Hashem's heart for destroying the Beis HaMikdash. He went too far in what he did and how he did it and how he was Mevaza. I was reading, talking about, I'm doing the Tishba of the Kinnis. So it's very interesting. There's a whole idea. I think it's Rav Soloveitchik. Soloveitchik, he writes that the whole element that we don't really talk about, we don't appreciate, is that it's not just that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar was Mevaza the Beis HaMikdash. It's a whole different dimension. We mentioned many times, just because he conquered Klal Yisrael doesn't mean just because you conquer doesn't mean you have to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And just because you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash doesn't mean you have to exile the Jewish people. And just because you exile the Jewish people doesn't mean you have to torture them in Bavel. You can let them live, have good lives in Bavel. Doesn't mean they have to be humiliated. And then there's another dimension in that he was mevazeh the Beis HaMikdash. That was not necessary. It wasn't necessary for him to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim to instruct one of his generals. It wasn't necessarily Nebuchadnezzar. Well, that was the Bayis Sheni. There were similar accounts in the Bayis Rishon. Okay, there were similar accounts. But at least in the Bayis Sheni, we have this idea as well. Look what the Bayis Sheni, Titus Edoim, is, let's talk about Titus, to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim and bring the Sefer Torah and to bring his mother and to be bought on his mother on top of a Sefer Torah in the Kodesh HaKodashim. What's all that about? What's that about? It's bad enough, you're conquering the people, you're murdering them, you're destroying the Beis HaMikdash. You have to be mevazeh the Beis HaMikdash. Is this also necessary? So this is a whole new dimension, and to some degree, obviously, dealing over here with Paro also, so you have Edoim and Nebuchadnezzar. So in this repetition, it refers to a continuous curse that these nations suffer throughout history. Hashem is coming to pay off piece by piece throughout history for their sins. And again, here we begin a new section, which again repeats a lot we learned before. Obviously, each section has new vocabulary. There are new words. There are new ideas. What we've heard is referring to. Ayin Param Latorah, on a very similar level, refers to what happened in the 27th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. But on a deeper level, it can refer to other periods of time. Vahivi Ashtei Esrei Shana. So over here, this took place after the Chorban. The Chorban took place in B'shtei Esrei Shana, the Chorban took place in the 11th year, in Chodesh Chamishi. And here it says this was B'shtei Esrei Shana in the 12th year. Now there was no 12th year. What 12th year? It became Batel. This itself is a very fascinating idea. Once the Yerushalayim was destroyed, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and Tzidkiyahu was captured and killed, it's over. So the clock stops. The 11th year, like these science fiction movies, right? Where the clock, when the world comes, the clock stops. When did the clock stop? The clock stopped in the 11th year, in the 5th month, on the 9th, 10th day of the month. That's it. It's over. So what does it say over here? Vayhi b'shtei esrei shana, in the 12th year, b'shnei osor chodesh, in the 12th month, chodesh adar, be'echa l'chodesh rosh chodesh adar, in the 12th year. Hoy dvar Hashem ilai lemar. So obviously this over here is teaching us a very powerful lesson. Some of the Mefarshim is, okay, we Yochim is, but I'm telling you the Drush, before we read the Pshat, okay, we're going backwards. Desert comes, life is uncertain. Eat dessert first, right? It's not an expression. You come to a restaurant, what would you like? Life is uncertain, dessert comes first. What? How does it go? What? How does it go?
Eat the main course first.
Eat the main course first?
Isaiah used to say, Friday night,
yeah.
He says, why are you serving the soup first? Serve the meat first, because Mashiach comes, I'll leave over the soup. I won't leave over the meat.
What?
Chinese eat the soup after
the meat.
The soup fills you up.
Okay, but it's a joke. You know, you come to a restaurant, let's have dessert first. Life is uncertain. We don't know what's going to be in 10 minutes from now, so we might as well get down to the good stuff. So here as well, let's first do the drush. The drush is, this exactly is the point. The Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Klal Yisrael doesn't come to an end. Just because Nebuchadnezzar, he conquered Tzidkiyo and he killed Tzidkiyo and he exiled the Jewish people, so what? The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. It's the 12th year of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. Where is Klal Yisrael? There's no one living in the land. Doesn't matter. The Netzach Yisrael lo yishak. Klal Yisrael, in one way, one form, somehow, they live on. They live on. The clock is always moving. So don't think it's just the 11th year in the 5th month. We're here now in the 12th year in the 12th month. The 12th year in the 12th month. Maybe there's some things like that, 12 and 12. And it's Rosh Chodesh Adar. And here Hashem is giving a message, Ben Adam Pasuk Beis, Sokina Al Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Nochamo. The Amarta of Kefir Goyim Nidmeso. You're just like a little lion. A kefir is a small lion. Okay? Ari Bachur, a young lion, cub. Okay, there are seven different terms for lion in Tanakh. Seven different terms which refer to the different stages of development of a lion. What? It is? Yeah, no, kefir, okay, so. Okay, so there are seven different levels. So here is the young, the atam you kitanim bayamim, and then we also in the same pasuk compare him to a sea serpent. Now a tanim seemingly is a mature, one of the most majestic. Had it was so big, Hashem had to slaughter the male or the female because it was so big. Vatogach binaroseha, and what did it gored binaroseha? Amongst the rivers. Now that's a very strange thing because the word vatogach is not a term you use for a kefir, and it's not a term you use for a fish. Vatogach, yilim bavakama, negicha is a shor. It's an exclusive term. So what's going on over here? Okay, we'll see in a moment. Vatid lach mayim biragleha. Vatid lach means you stepped. By the lesson we have a good word, tidlach. Okay, I'm not sure, but vatidlach means you stepped. Another word, vatirpois, also the two words which mean the same thing. It means to step. Okay, two words which I don't know the difference. Two words which mean the step, vatidlach and vatirpois. You stepped with your feet, you stepped upon the water, and you stepped upon naharoi, some their rivers. Now, what does all this mean? Let's see the three of these two psukim in the mitzudos first. Pasuk Aleph, Yashtei Esrei Shana, Lamalchus Tzidkiyahu. Vushana achas achar hachorben. Was he still alive? Tzidkiyo, I don't remember. How long did he live? He was blinded. I guess he was. He was blinded. He took him down to Bavel, and he killed his 10 sons in his presence, and he was blinded, and I guess he lived. He lived for a period of time. He didn't die right away. So we're still calling al derech pshat. It was still at his 12th year, even though Klal Yisrael at this point in time is not functional. Again, but that's the idea we mentioned before. The Netzach Yisrael Yishaker, Pasek Beis, Kekfir Goyim Did Mesa, Medame Hayisa Biatzmecha, you compared yourself, Sha'ata Lemuha Goyim Kekfir Be'ed Reitzon. Okay, so you compare yourself to a kfir among sheep. The world are weak, like sheep. Okay, isn't that the expression they use? Like sheep, like the Holocaust, Rahman al-Sultan, they say that's the, whatever, we all know, like they went like sheep. Sheep is, they're weak, they're vulnerable. And the kfir, the lion, is powerful. Everyone is great. So therefore, you are kfir amongst it. So it's relative. You are kfir relative to the sheep of the world. Avaloi kein adavar. So here, the mitzudos he learned shan the pasuk. You are mistaken. Ki ata katanim asher bayamim. You're wrong. You're making a big mistake. By you think you're like a lion among sheep. You're like a monster, a sea monster, a fish in the yam. Lamai nafkamina. You can't go on dry land. You're limited. Your environment is limited. You're making a big mistake. You have no mobility. You're stuck in your land. Vatogach binaros, vatogach binaros secha, lefi shimshilo letanin, omar binaros secha in your rivers, return to loimar, biartsecha torim keren, in your waters you will bring forth a horn. I guess the tanin, maybe over here we have some sources, we don't know what the tanin is, no one knows what a tanin is. It's not a dolphin, that's for sure, okay? I don't know what it is, who knows? It's some mystical creature that swims in the sea. Chazal said there's only one of them left. Hashem made the taninim hagedolim, and one was slaughtered for the tzaddikim, the male, because if they were popular, they would destroy the world, and one is still swimming around. Hashem plays with that one that's swimming around every single day for 3 hours. Wow, 3 hours a day Hashem is busy playing with this tanin, and obviously we do not know what this is, but it seems over here that it has horns, and that's why the word batogach is okay. Crocodile is that's the tzardeya. No, that my usual interpretation. I always say the tzardeya is a crocodile. It's not a frog. It's not a frog. That's a chiddush to say that. But someone say this. Some have proof. My Deutsch. He has a whole drush on this. What is a tzardeya? The Lord says, okay, so therefore you like the love. Lord says, you can't go anywhere else. You have trampled upon the water with your feet. Or some though he's learned vatidlach means to dirty, a little bit more richer, to muddy. When you start stepping on the water, so you make it muddy. You're able lirmos to trample upon the rivers. You have no ability to do anything more than in your own hometown. You have a mistaken understanding. What's the expression? You think too much of yourself. Okay, there's a good expression of this. You think too much of yourself. You think you can conquer the world. You're limited only to the waters. In the waters, you can go and you can flex your muscles, but not outside the waters. We have an appreciation. I said this last week, is that that's exactly why Yaakov Avinu gave Yosef and his two sons the bracha, the yidgu loroiv, the karev haaretz. The yidgu is fish, dogim, the yidgu to populate like fish, but where should you populate? Bekerev ha'oretz, on the earth. Why was Yaakov Avinu giving him this specific bracha? Because Yaakov Avinu was giving them the bracha against the backdrop of Paro. And Paro is, because they're living in Egypt, and Paro is the Tanin HaGadol, he's the great sea serpent, but the Tanin HaGadol, as we learn in Yecheskel, is you're limited to the Yam. You're limited. You may flex your muscles and have power, but you only can flex your muscles in your hometown, in the Yam, in the water. But Klal Yisrael will have the milos, the characteristics of fish, and that they'll multiply. They're not to all the different things about fish, all the milos of whatever fish are all about. And not only will they have that milo with no limitation, the Yidgu Loroiv, the Kerev Ha'oretz, not just like what it says over here, Vatogach Benaharoi Secho, and you're going to have to be unlimited in what you can do. Alright, so this is the Musar that Hashem is giving Paro according to the Perush of the Mitzvot. Let's see Rashi says, "Kafir goyim lidmeis of yatoa ketanim bayamim." No, this is Musar. Musar. Right now we're giving, what do you mean? Which one? What do you mean? Musar. He's giving him Musar. So Kina. He's giving a eulogy. Kina. This is a Kina. He's giving eulogy. He's giving Musar. Paro, who do you think you are? You think you have a view of yourself that's not true. You think that you're going to conquer the entire world. The whole world is our sheep, and you are a lion, and a lion can roam the entire world and eat up and devour the sheep. You're made mistaken. You're nothing more than an ugly sea serpent, and that only has power in his local environment. You don't have any influence over the entire world. This is a kina. It's a kina when you dash someone's, when you show someone that you have an unrealistic expectations. Your vision of the world is not what you think. It's very frightening.
Okay, it's
your self-image. Like you think a person, you're like you're fooled your whole life. You imagine, good morning. You imagine what you can do, what you can accomplish, and then you realize it's not true. So it's a very painful thing. And that's exactly what Hashem is telling Paro, you are mistaken in your potential, in your abilities. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says
here also translates it as crocodile.
A crocodile.
Even though here
also, okay.
Over here, crocodile.
All right, so the crocodile.
In the Chumash, he says Svadeas crocodile, but here I'm just saying.
There must be different varieties. Varieties of crocodiles, okay.
In the Chumash by Moshe when it says
it's a fascinating creature, the crocodile. It's unbelievable, the things that it can do, and its power. It's a very fearsome creature. Let's see Pasuk Beis in the Rashi. Kfirat b'gnedid meisa v'atog batanim katanim bayamim. Hoyelcha lirboitz toch yoyrecha kimishpat ha-dogim v'loylot seis el hayavosha. So he's saying exactly the same thing as the Mitzudos. Hashem is giving him Musar. Who do you think you are? You think you're a kfir? You're not. You're nothing more than a tanin, and a tanin only is limited to the river. Yet what did you do? V'nisko esa, you have become arrogant. B'libicha, v'nidmesa be'atzmecha, you think about yourself, that l'kfir, like you're a kfir lion, l'hashalit b'yabasha, v'yotze l'tof teref, and goes out to conquer and to devour other little creatures. V'togach b'naharoisecha, v'teitze chutz im naharoisecha, you go forward out with your rivers, l'shoin goichi mi boten. Ki yogiach yardain, so he's treve oirev yisrael megiach mimikomo, means to move, loshen dover hanoivea, so he's coming to answer our question. I told you that it means to loshen of negicha, by negicha. What?
We have no gea, but that doesn't make any sense. Loshen,
loshen dover hanoivea. I have a base in my edition. It means to flow, the yoytse mi base mistarim, which goes out of its hiding place. So obviously Rashi over here is coming to take issue with the Mitzudos, even though he came much before the Mitzudos, and he's saying that it doesn't mean negicha, to gore, because negicha is a word which is exclusive to an axe, and who says that a tanin has horns, like in the Mitzudos? It means to go forth. It really means to go forth from its place of hiding, overflow, noivea, what? To draw out, to draw forth, and that's all it means here in this context, that over here you have drawn forth, the rivers extend from your land, and you have followed the rivers, you can follow the rivers, but they're limited to where the rivers take you. Biraglecha, raglayim lo hoyu lecha, over here is mormosur, with your feet. You don't have feet, biraglecha, feet. You made yourself feet like the chayas aretz, la'avar meime aratzos. You made artificial feet.
Evolution.
Lavar mime harotzos, the lirpois naharoisam, to go forth from the waters of the land, the lirpois naharoisam, and to trample upon the rivers, hadug vahadugma kitargum yonison, the agachta bimash riosoch, the azata amamaya, so agachta means, I guess, means vagachta means you went forth with your camps. Okay, Bimash Riyasa means your armies. What?
It says you waged war.
You waged war. You went forth with your armies. You waged war. Va'azata amamaya bisum chivosach, and you terrified nations. Is that how we translated? What?
You caused the people to quake. You know, you shook up.
You shook up. You terrified the nations bisum chivosach. What does that mean?
With your supporters.
With your supporters. V'ach revta, and you destroyed midin noshoin, their nations. So you, this is what, so Rashi is pretty much saying the same idea as the Mitzudos. Hashem is giving Musar to Paro. Who do you think you are? You're nothing more than a fish. And a fish has to live in the water. And you think in your unrealistic view of yourself that you are a lion that can walk freely among on the land. Radak, Pasuk Beis. Ben Adam saw Kina. Is there a Radak in Pasuk Aleph? Yes. Vayihi b'yashrei yeshashon elamalchus v'kiyot shon achas achachom one year after the Chorban. Ben Adam saw Kina. Ki chein yikoinenu olav hamekoinenim. Okay, this is what people are going to say about you, Paro. And when they write history, and they look back in history, hindsight is 20/20, they're going to say that Paro thought about himself more than what he really was. He thought that he can conquer, like they say about Yimach Shemo V'Zichro Hitler.
Hitler, this is after the fact.
What? After the fact, of course. Hindsight is 20/20. Look, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro Hitler, what did he think? He thought he can conquer the entire world. He thought that his armies were strong enough, can go up against, he can fight a two, a two, can fight a war on two, two fronts at the same time. And he thought he can conquer, he can survive in the bitter winter, the bitter Russian winters. He thought of himself way, way too much than what the reality is. When you look back in history, it's hindsight to realize that these people, in their arrogance, they thought of themselves more than what they really were capable of doing. And that's true for many people who have failed in the big world scene. And here we're describing it in reference to Paro.
Well, that's what you, I don't know if you said it one time, every time you walk into the room, they play Hail to the Chief, you begin to believe it yourself, even if you didn't at the beginning. You know, eventually you say, oh yeah, you know.
It grows on you.
Yeah.
It grows on you. Arrogance grows on a person. It's scary, you know, it's scary. It's in the Jewish world also. When you tell a certain person that you're Harav HaGoyin, every wedding they call Harav HaGoyin, yeah, Tak, I'm a Goyin. When was the last time you opened up a Gemara? It's not a joke. I once read Rybelski. I was in his chair for a short time, for a few months, and he once said, you know, he ran the OU. He ran the OU. And you know, Rybelski, he knew Shulchan Aruch literally bal peh. It's not a joke. It's scary. He knew the Shach and Taz. Literally, his mind was Mishuna. Literally bal peh. You ask him a simon, he can just tell you, a photographic memory. He can tell you word for word what it says in the Shach and Taz. These long shachs, he can tell you bal peh what it says. So he says that he deals with people in Hashkacha. They never in their life opened up a Shulchan Aruch.
Right.
And it's frightening. I remember Rav Kahanau, so he was a rav in Long Beach. He was a rav here in Flatbush a little bit. So he said that in the early years, when the Erev, the Flatbush Erev was first started, or maybe there was an Erev in Long Beach. I don't know. He's talking about a certain Erev. So there was a meeting in the community. I don't know which community he's referring to. A meeting of the community of the Rabbanim, and they were going to this meeting where they were assigned the task to review the halachic issues of the Erev. So he looked around at the Rabbanim, and he just wanted to know what are their qualifications. So there's some Rabbanim, they knew Shulchan Aruch on their fingertips, inside out. And then there was one Rav there who was making a lot of noise, and at some point in time they asked him, like, what is your qualification? He read Rav Shimon Eider's Sefer from cover to cover. Okay, it's very good. It's more than most people, okay? You read Rav Shimon Eider's Sefer on Hilchas Erevin from cover to cover. It's very nice, okay? Okay, I didn't do that. But it doesn't make you qualified to paskin to decide for a community Chil Shabbos. I'm sorry.
It's very common. We had a meeting with Kashrus, and the vibe of a certain organization was all there. Five Rabban sitting around with us. And finally, one of the Rabban from the Bad asked a question, and we were in shock at what he asked. And David Cohen said to him, you know what? Just keep quiet and listen. Because it was the stupidest question for a guy who's supposed to be in charge. It was outlandish. And Rev Cohen, he understood that. Why? The look of shock on our faces, and he told the guy to keep his mouth shut for the rest of the meeting.
It's a problem. Okay, but here we have this Paro had the same image of himself, which was not in line with reality. Okay, the next words in the Radak. V'ato katanim bayamim v'chein ho'yisa k'mo hatanim hagodol bayamim k'mo sh'amar lov gam kein hatanim hagodol haroi beitz besoch yarov. We had this before. Yechezkel already compared Nebuchadnezzar to compared Paro to the Tanin hagodol. Okay, the next words, the Rabadadak v'togach b'naroi secha. So he also learns like Rashi. The words v'togach means to go forth, does not mean to gore. Vatotzi kmo ki yogiach yardein el piu. The yardein goes forth, el piu forward, something like that. Uperusha vatotzi mayim bin harosecha el ha yabasha ubeis bin harosecha beis for ezer. Okay, let's just leave that. There's some grammar which I'm not familiar with. Vadoim lo oye vatogach mibinyan kal uperusha vatetze im harosecha lishtoif es aretz vahanaros heim moshal lichei loisav. Same idea that you have try to go out and conquer the world with your armies. Vatigdal mayim biraglecha, vatidlach shor mayim shel shor arosos. You stepped upon water with your feet. Naharoisam, naharois hamayim shezochar. Inyon vatirpos vatidlach vatirpos. The Radak says these two words pretty much mean the same thing. It means to step and to muddy. Inyon echod b'miloy shoynes. Inyon hadrisa b'mayim im achirus ha'mayim. When you trample upon water, you make it muddy, you make it dark. Ki kishadaris adam b'mayim shirim amukim. When water is not deep, sheyuchal logas b'ragla b'aris. When you can reach the bottom, male hatit. It causes the particles to come full up. U'machir ha'mayim. It causes to become dark. Zem mashal shoyel lilcham b'agoyim rabim. U'mashchis aretz oisam. This is a mashal. You went to war. You conquered many nations. Before, you went to war with your armies to conquer the world. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Gimel. So says Hashem Elokim, uforasti alecha esrishti. Paro, your days are numbered. I'm going to spread out my net upon you. Bekahal amim rabim, amongst the assembly of many nations. Vehelucha bichermi. And they're going to bring you up in my trap. Okay, so the chermi is a trap. It's really the same thing in this context as the reshes. Pasuk dalet. Unitashticha v'aretz. I will disperse you over the land. Alpnei asodeh atilech. I'm going to repeat. Alpnei asodeh atilech. I will cast you. I will deposit you, just abandon you. V'hishkanti alecha kol. And I will cause now to rest upon you. You will be food for the birds of heaven. V'hishkanti alecha kol oif hashamayim v'hispati mimcho chayas kol haaretz. And all of the wild animals will eat. They'll be satisfied eating your flesh. I used to go very early to Chaim Berlin. I still do. So I don't see anymore though. They used to have deliveries at Glatmart. They used to deliver meat. These massive these trucks. These trucks of meat. And right from the slaughterhouse. Big, yeah. The imams, you can see the animal, you can see the shape of the animal. And they have all these workers, they're all dressed in these overalls and boots, and they take it from the truck into the store, and they cut things up, and there's always birds, very large seagulls. And they're all hovering, like it's causing them pain. Here is all the meat. The meat, they sense, they can smell it from a very far distance. So they smell. So here also, that means over here that you're going to be killed. And therefore, when you're going to be killed, you're going to be food. Your blood and your flesh will be food for the chayos asada and for the birds of the heaven. So let's see these. Let's see one another pasuk. V'nasatis b'sarcha al heharim. I'll put your flesh upon the mountains. V'milesi hage oyos ramusecha. And I'll fill up the valleys with ramusecha. Now, what was ramusecha here mean? With your arrogance. Your arrogance, in other words, it's an expression, you'll be defeated, and your arrogance will lie upon the valleys, and you'll cease to exist. Let's see these three psukim inside Pasuk Gimel and Mitzudos David. Pasuk Gimel, where does it begin? Porasti, I will spread out. Koimer. Me'ata lo timshol gam sham. You will no longer rule over your own nation. Ki efros olecha reshes im kahal amim rabim sheheim yalu oischa. The nations of the world will go fishing, and you're going to be caught in their net. Menamayim besoch hareshes asher porasti olecha. Return loymar Nebuchadnezzar yovi asakastim veheim yabdu oischa besoch arzcha. This is the marshal that Nebuchadnezzar will send his mercenaries, the kastim, these barbarians, and they will kill you. Pasuk dalid unitashticha, I will afazer oischa, I will disperse you. Ba'aretz va'ashlich oischa al pnei hasodeh, among on the face of the earth. Keep kikol ba'mochama, you'll die in battle. V'tia l'machol oif hashamayim l'chayas aretz, and you will be food for the animals. Pasuk hey, al heharim ki ha'oifos v'achayos yisu'um shama l'ochlam. The birds and the chayos will pick you up over there. They'll pick up your flesh and eat you over there. Ramusecha harimus shahoyah l'choyah mushlach bo'amakim. Your arrogance, and Amek is a valley, it's a low land. Your arrogance, which represents height, will be cast down to the lowest of the lands. Ritzon Eloimar oid lo tiskoe b'yoscha mushlach. You no longer will rule b'yoscha mushlach kefeger muvas b'socha amakim. You'll be like a dead corpse in the valleys. Okay, Pasuk, that concludes Mitzudos. Let's see Radak. Let's see Rashi first. Rashi, Pasuk, Gimel. The Chermi is a trap. Leshoin Mitzoda. Fahar b'yesh mikra, yigor, or neke. It's like different types of traps. All different types. So over here, it goes back to the Pasuk before Reshes. Yogorehu bechermi to drag him into my trap. In his trap. Mitzodim v'acharamim, two different words go together. Traps and pelas means different types of traps. Umilesi hageoyos ramusecha hashlochoscha, you will be cast down from your arrogance. Kemo Roma bayom Hashem threw into the yam the arrogant Egyptians. B'yeish oimrim ramusecha loshon rima, worms. This does not mean that your arrogance will be in the valleys. It means worms will eat you. Worms will consume you. In other words, we have the whole set: the birds, the wild animals, and the worms. They will all feast over your flesh and blood. New interpretation: Vayorum toluim bayivash, and that's what the pasuk here means. That the hage umilesi hage oyos ramusech, the worms that come from your flesh will be filled. They'll fill up the valleys. Let's see now. Radak pasuk gimel dalid and hey. Ko yamar Hashem rishdi v'yamar becharmi. Two words. Loimar ki yokel yisbach ye imohem lahashchis mitzrayim becharmi kumo rishdi. These are the same thing. Radak pasuk gimel. Radak pasuk gimel. V'kein yitzu d'charev mitergim yonos on rishdi mitzotzi becharmi sirikti ki horeshes osui masei seruk. Horeshes is made from, it's woven. It's woven. Okay, unkashticha, I will disperse you. That's self-understood. Atilecha kmo ashlichacha. Okay, the next one, nosati es besorcha kitargumo. Okay, well, let's leave that. It's self-understood. Let's go to the next one. Dramusecha sheyu hagi oyos vehamokim malei min hapigorim. The od yeromu v'yigbu aleihem merov haharugim. So he has another interpretation, new interpretation. Yeromu v'yigbu. They will pile up. Okay. Ramu secha means a pile. Mm-hmm. So it means that there are going to be so many bodies, the bodies are going to be piled very, very high. So secha kol we have over here, then he goes, v'yesh mefarshim, ramu secha, hag bo hoscha, shayisa giva levav, you're arrogant, that was the mitzudos, u'miskoa b'roiv chelo secha, ani amale hagi oyos mehem, I'm going to fill up your arrogance. The arrogance will now be taken down to the ani amale hagi oyos mehem, I'm going to remove the arrogance from them. Bottom line is, there are three translations for the word ramu secha. Either it means your arrogance, or it means the dead bodies will be piled very, very high, or it means worms. The worms that come from your flesh will be numerous and fill up the valleys. Okay, I don't have over here any midrashim. There is over here some very long mincha gedolah, but I didn't really get much of a chance to go decipher it, so we'll have to do it another time. Let's go to Pasuk Vav in a few more minutes. Pasuk Vav. Vishkesi eretz tsa fascha midamcha. I will water the land. Safascha. Safascha is the Mitsudo Sion says Shetias Hamayim Mimal, the flowing. Okay, I will water the land that Safascha. We'll have to see the Mitsudo. Let's look at the Mitsudo David right away. Eretz Safascha. Artsacha, your land. Shanei Hayor Tsofim Olecha. This is a borrowed term. The land that is flooded with water. In other words, it's moist. It's a good land. It overflows. The land which tsof means to float. The land that is flooded with water. Tsof al pnei hamayim. Ro'gil goylas achas tsof al pnei hamayim. So here it means I'm going to water eretz tsifoscha, your land that in the past was watered with blessing, now it's going to be watered with your blood, midamcha, el harim, and this will include the mountains, ve'afikim, the mountains and the afikim, yimalun mimcha, they will be filled from you, meaning from your blood and from your bodies. Pasuk zayin, v'chisesi b'cha b'yischa shamayim, I will cover your b'cha b'yischa means. How does he translate over here? Kishem chav ner hameir humal oshem, with your smoke. So kibui means
cover with a cover.
Also, but what does it mean over here? So the mitzvah explains it means to extinguish. When you extinguish fire, what happens? You create smoke.
Yeah.
So there's going, so kibui over here really is a borrowed term for smoke. I'm going to cover the heavens, there's going to be dark, the land will be black, there will be pollution from all of the smog, from all of the burning of your cities, and the rays of the sun will not descend upon the earth. Dechiseisi, I will cover, becha boischa, the smoke that comes from the attempt to extinguish the fires, shamayim, the heavens, the rays of the sun will not come down to the earth, will be blocked by the pollution. Vehikdarti es koichvehem, they will darken their stars. Shemesh be'onon achasenu, I will cover the sun with a cloud. V'yareach lo yo'iru oiro, and the moon likewise will not give forth its light. So here we're describing over here, what?
That's by the, you know, that it will be so dark because
Mitzrayim
will be so thick.
Thick, you're not
going to
be
no smoke, just not the fire.
So let's see over here these three psukim together. We have over here three psukim. We're in the middle, but let's do pasuk vav, paul, vav, and zayin. Okay, vav and zayin together in the mitzudos tavim. Vav says eretz tzofascha, artzecha shemei hayart tzofim olecha lehashkaisa. Your land that in the past was blessed, in that the water floated upon the earth. Now it's going to be cursed. How will it be cursed? That it will be watered with your blood. Hine oz, ashke oisa, when it's destroyed, midamcha, v'chol kach yisrabeh adam ad shetelech gam al heharim, there will be so much blood, the blood will even rise to the mountains which are tall. It will go up, the blood will go up. V'afikim, the valleys, mekoymos hamayim, yimolu midmei harugim, shemecha, the valleys will be filled with blood. V'amayim, teyapech ledam, the water will turn into blood. Zayin, v'chiseisi, ki kishemechabim haner hameyer humal le'oshen, when you extinguish fire, it causes smoke. U'lefi goydel haner keinu marbes oshen, the greater the fire, the more smoke. V'himshil, esparo b'goydel hatzlochos l'ner godel, to a very large, in the success, to a large candle. L'chein amav kishakaveh oischa, when I extinguish you, yiye oshon rav v'yichuse hashamayim es oshon, and the smoke will prevent the rays of sun from coming down to the earth. V'hikdarti hu al derech haflaga mirav hatzara haba olav ki yoimei b'tzara doim alo kol olam k'choshach, when a person is in time of tzara, it's as if the entire world is dark. Rashi, Pasik, Vav and Zayin, Vav is v'shkesi eretz tzofoscha eretz hasharata bo tzof bo al pnei meimei yoirech, the land which you float upon with your water, your waterways, irrigation canals, kamot tzof u'maymal rosh, v'yotzef habarzel, the barzel floated, oysa haaretz mashke midamcha, now that oysa haaretz ashke, I will water from your blood. Tzofoscha, Ramchol, know what this word is?
You're floating.
El Hadim Hagvayim Shabbat, the high mountains, Vafikim, the Kedim, the Fikim. Floats. It goes to the highest place.
Yeah.
Now, what's the next word? Vafikim. What do you have there? Translation Vafikim in the French?
In old French, gullies or gulches or streams.
Streams. Vafikim are streams. All right.
If you look at the word,
river.
No, I know, but that's what it looks
okay,
like.
Okay, let's do the Radak and we're done. Radak, just let's finish the Radak. When we finish, Radak, Pasik, Vavin, Zayin, Vishkesi, Vishkesi, Eretz. We didn't do Zayin. I'm sorry, you're right. I'm sorry. Zayin Rashi. I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Zayin Rashi, Vichitsesi, Bechaboscha, Shemayim, Kishetichvehat, Tav, Eroscha. When you extinguish the fire, what happens? Smoke rises. Yale Hashan, Vichasa Hashamayim, Yachshech HaMoros, and the luminaries are dark. Kiloimar, Kol Shoimei Shemacha Yisablu, all those who hear about your reputation or the report of what has happened to you, Yisablu V'yishtoimu Ki Yidagu Ish L'Navsha V'Leibar Gamalinu Yamod Yale HaMashchis. Anyone that hears the report of what happened to the mighty, powerful Egypt will also be terrified, because they realize they're next. The same thing may come upon them. Let's see the Radak. It's raining outside. Wow. Okay. Let's see Pasik. The Pasik Vav and Zayin in the Radak. The Ishkesi Eretz Safascha Mitzafascha. Mr. Axelrod, you came in the nick of time. Right before the storm. The Ishkesi Eretz Safascha Midamcha El Arim Mitzafascha Min Safi Maim Al Reishi Milas Safascha Beinoinika, we're going to skip this. Next words, Midam Chavitzalema, Midam Chalalecha, Vihi Adam Atzof Alecha, okay, it's the blood which flows upon you, Amai Viyod Elohorim, Koyma Achegiu Elohorim, Vizeh Derech Afloga, this is an exaggeration. Vichosa Vadoini Yavi Zal. My father says, Ki Omar Zebavur Yeor Mitzrayim Shayotzel Hashkos Hasados, Vikor Oretz Tzofa. The land is called Tzofa because it is irrigated. And the water of the irrigation canals irrigate the world of Egypt, Tzofim Amai Molecha, because they deliberately, they direct the irrigation canals to cause the water to float upon the land. Kamosha Kara Aretz Zovas Cholav Udvash, Lufisha Cholav Zovaleha, a land that flows with milk and honey, the milk flows upon Eretz Yisrael. Vafikim Yimolu Mimimcha, Midam Chalalecha, Mipigrehem, Yenis Antirgim Eretz Safasra, Ara Dehanesa, Retzalema Eretz Dishena, the land that is fat. Okay, so he learns Safascha as a new translation. Does not mean to float. It means a fatty land, a land that's shomein. I don't know exactly what the significance of that is. Okay, one more pasuk Zayin in the Mitzudos and the Radak. V'chisisi b'tzeri hasamach b'chaboyscha k'shaka v'oyscha. Ratzolay ma'kiilu hoyener meir merov gidulah. So you were compared to a ner. It's an interesting idea that Egypt, in its height, in its success, is compared to a candle. A candle that's lit, a ner. Uvechaboiso, and when you extinguish the ner, it produces smoke. Yale oshan, godo. Ad sheyechatsa shemaim shlo yeirohu, to the point there's so much pollution that the sun cannot shine. Vechein kol inyin haposik moshal al derech haflaga, everything is an exaggeration. Meroiv hatzara, shetielo, describing the great tragedy that will come upon Egypt. So we'll stop here. We're up to Pasuk Ches. Mir Shem will pick it up next week.